Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
We are a little over a week into the Olympics. Are we still watching?
Are you watching?
Lindsay?
I've been watching baseball.
You've been watching baseball? You gave up on rugby?
It is so heated. No, like, baseball is so heated. Like, the Yankees and the Orioles have been tied for the division the last few games. It's been very intense. The Orioles have been playing Cleveland. Cleveland has the best record in all of baseball right now. I've been very invested. I've been, like, watching multiple games at once.
Okay. Jenny, what are you watching? Do you have a highlight from this last week of the Olympics? I mean, we are not an Olympic podcast. We are a book podcast, but
yeah,
we're all kind of invested in these Olympics.
Right. Like Pommelhorst guy, like he's
Stephen N.
Yes.
Clark Kent of the Olympics.
And he's like a certified nerd. So
yeah.
I just like watching the ridiculous things that happen.
So I think my favorite moment, I have a couple. One of my very favorite moments has been the Norway swimmer and his love affair with the chocolate right. Muffins. Like, I love him. He's so funny.
Yeah, like in his bed. Like,
do you know the Muffin Man? So funny. But rugby women 7 won a bronze, so congratulations to Iona Mayer. Like, go lady. But there's been some really great moments. Snoop and Martha dressed in their dressage costumes. Have you seen those two together?
Oh, I have not seen Martha.
And it was Martha's birthday. And they got all dressed together. Oh, and I think I also want to talk about the importance of compression shorts.
Okay, when Becky sent me the video she's about to reference, I was literally like, isn't he supposed to have something that takes care of that?
Yeah. Well, and I didn't know what happened. So we're talking about the French pole vaulter who made it up and over and vaulted the pole, but his junk took out the pole. He says it was his shin.
Yeah,
but I've seen the video from several different angles. Right. Dude, it might be as big as your shin, but it was not your shin. That's all I must say.
His shin definitely brushed it, but his junk clearly got caught on top of it.
Yeah. It was like hanging over.
Yeah. So I didn't know what exactly had happened. And then I came across a guy on TikTok that's like, you know, all of those people were really upset at drag queens in the opening ceremony. They're going to be really upset when they learn that they have to give classes to the pole vaulters on how to tuck and hide. And I was like, yes.
How to wear the appropriate equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been some cool moments. I really love the Olympics. So you know, they're still out there. Stacey, for anybody who missed the French pole vaulter, I will share the video over in Discord so that you can see all the chaos we're talking about. So I'll share it over there as soon as the episode is finished. So before we get into our topic tonight, at the request of Jenny, we wanted to take a moment in remembering Francine Pascal. She was the creator of the Sweet Valley Twins. And many of us, she formed us into romance readers. If you think about it, even back to like Sweet Valley Twins, to junior high, to high school, there was always an underlying girl gang and, you know, romantic angst.
Right. Romance was always like their goal.
Yeah. So We are deeply saddened to hear about the passing of Francine Pascal, the visionary author behind the beloved Sweet Valley Twins series. Francine's remarkable talent for storytelling brought to life the unforgettable world of Jessica and Elizabeth Wakefield. Do you know how long it took me to remember their last name? Longer really? Than it should have. Yeah. These stories captured the hearts of readers across generations. Her work not only entertained, but also provided a mirror for young readers to see themselves in their experience, fostering a love for reading and storytelling. Francine Pascal's legacy will live on in the cherished pages of her books, continuing to inspire and delight future generations. Our thoughts are with her family and friends and all those who found joy in her world. Rest in peace, Francine Pascal. These books, I think, and we talked about this when we did the episode about the books that got us here, right?
Right.
We talked at length about her books, her storytelling, her and the author of The Babysitter's Club and Anna Martin, right? I think I got that right. There was something about being seen in those Sweet Valley books.
Yeah, I think everyone could relate to either like Jessica or Elizabeth, and some, if not one of them, like one of their friends.
Yeah,
because they were very polar opposite twins, and then they had both had like their own group.
Yeah,
of people.
And I think many of those stories, especially for people who maybe lived with a more sheltered or conservative existence. Those stories kind of gave you insight that you weren't going to get at home.
Very much so. Because my series was the Sweet Valley High senior year, which I was just telling Becky started in January of 1999. So I was freshly high school person. And if my parents had known what was in those books, yeah, I would not have.
Yeah. In January of 1999, I was engaged and getting ready to marry Mike Burrier. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. In January of 1999, I was 10 years old.
Well, yeah. Lindsay was still reading Babysitter's Club in 1999. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Lindsay. We often forget Lindsay is the baby. But we love her for it. You know, again, it's one of those things we want to make sure that it's important to remember the books we came from, right? Like, right. While yes, like Jude Devereaux, Julie Garwood, those books are outdated, right? There's things in those that in the view and the scope of today's consumership, there's some problematic issues in those. One, they have no content or trigger warnings, and what's consent? But there's a foundation that those stories and an expectation those stories gave me as a reader, just like the Sweet Valley High books gave us. Like, they gave us a foundation that let us know, like, this is what you can expect if you want this kind of storytelling.
Yeah, they were definitely, like, I think for me, like, a way to see that reading could be fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I saw a thread and someone said, well, what would you compare for like the thriller reader? Well, the thriller reader, Goosebumps, R.L. Stein to Dean Koontz to Freda McFadden or Karen Slaughter or Stephen King. Like, there's a progression.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, we all have those books that this was our genre and this is where we went. Okay, so what we're going to talk about this week, of course, I picked it because it was born out of controversy on Threads, which Book Talk used to be my wild, wild west where I would get like, wow, we should talk about that. Now I just go to Threads. I spend 5 minutes scrolling through Threads and I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
big feelings over here. And, oh, before we get to that, Suze asks if we remember Donna Parker similar to Nancy Drew. I do not. I read Boxcar Children, but, and Nancy Drew.
I read a lot of Nancy Drew.
And then I went to the I don't know, I'll think later. Okay. Anyway, so controversy we found was we are diving into the world of special editions. We are going under the cover and between the pages. From bookstore exclusives to bonus content to Kickstarters, we're exploring the unique and collectible side of our favorite reads. We'll discuss what makes these editions so special, the allure of exclusive content, and who these editions are really for. Whether you're a casual reader or a dedicated collector, this episode's for you, because we are going to also talk a little bit about the resale market and how it isn't what you think it is. Okay, so one of the first things that I want to talk about, and I kind of made a list for us, but this one is first because I think this one is really interesting to me, and I want to talk about these first run
Oh,
special
yes.
editions. Because we've all seen it, right? Like, we're now seeing first runs with special spines, first runs with sprayed edges, first runs with alternate covers. And really, Fourth Wing was the catalyst for the sprayed edges. They had that book, you know, Red Tower said, hey, we are coming in hard and fast in a flash. We're going to have a hardbound book. It will have sprayed edges with the dragons. And that kind of created this trend, right? So here's one of the marketing reasons that happens. And then we'll talk about our feelings about it. So, and we saw it with Elsie Silver's book first, special edition. So a collectible spine or a first run special edition new release. The reason that these are done for a marketing perspective is it creates an instant bestseller.
Because you need that book.
You need that book. And in a day and age where the majority of our romance authors right now that are charting are not traditional authors. They are hybrid that have kept on to the rights of their ebooks, releasing them into Kindle Unlimited, and then letting the p paperback distribution rights go to the production houses, to the publishers and stuff. And we all know that you, and we should do an episode on bestsellers list, what it means, the letters, how you get them, whatever. And maybe we'll do that. But USA Today recently changed how they calculate their bestsellers list. It used to be you just had to have books from two retailers. Well, now it's a curated list. And so Elsie Silver's ebook sales cannot count. It's in the USA Today list. It's a matter of hardback sales, paperback sales, and it must be from their curated retailers. So you have a first run. And if you don't pre-order it and you don't get the first run, you are not guaranteed this spine or these sprayed edges. So how many
But
people go and pre-order?
it also incentivizes, like, so if the books are releasing into Kindle Unlimited, there used to not be an urgency around buying the paperback because
100%.
they were indie printed, the covers weren't changing, they stayed the same for years until these third party retailers like Casablanca and Sourcebooks and Bloom have started picking them up. When they pick them up, they're like, well, how do we incentivize these people who've already bought these books or read them in KU to suddenly buy the paperback? They are incentivizing either, like for me, I've had to buy a lot of books to finish series that were going out of print. And then you have other instances where, like, the very limited first run has like deleted scenes or special edition features where it's like, okay, well, I love this author. I really want that. I'm really the only instance I've been really irritated about it is with Katherine Cowell's new series because she has, instead of doing, in if you've started purchasing the paperbacks with her signing them through Paulina Books, you cannot get past the second book in the series. You can no longer get a signed indie edition.
Well,
The
and that might change. She might have worked something out in her contract because some Some will do that. For example, like Melanie Harlow sold her current Cherry Tree Harbor,
but she kept rights to produce model covers, like a one-time run for model covers, and she kept rights to like do a first run to make sure, like she made sure that like with her contract that readers could still get all the copies of the series covers that were matching.
And like A.L. Jackson sold Redemption Hills to Entangled also, and with the sale of that, she made sure that she took a longer space before they're going to produce the first book to give her readers the opportunity to finish their collection. The author that made me the craziest with the covers change is Claire Kingsley, because didn't get a paperback deal. She did not have a paperback deal, but she wants one. Like, desperately wants one. And we have questions because half of Bootleg Springs is gone.
Wait, what?
Half of all of Claire's books that are Bootleg Springs, all her paperbacks are gone. But Lucy's are still there.
I have questions too.
So Claire Kingsley's the one that bugs me the most because, like I said, she did not have a distribution deal, but she wants one. So she went and she changed a lot of her covers, and she changed covers mid series and didn't give people any time to go and grab the old covers. Like, she did her Martini Running Club. It changed mid series. Like, three books had male covers and looked one way, and now the fourth book is the new illustrated object covers.
I don't think you can get the male covers anymore for that.
No, they're gone.
Do you remember in the indie space, like a few years ago, where covers matching and being consistently designed throughout a series was like a mark of the brand, where you wanted the cover to not just market your book, like to match what the story was and like to give readers a sense of what that would be like, but it was also supposed to be like a mark of the indie author brand? And that's totally freaking out the window now. Like, all the covers look so utterly similar, and it
Now, I will say, like, Erin Nicholas, she loves man cover. But in paperback, she knows man covers don't sell right now. It's the illustrated cover that is selling. It, given the genre, she writes within the rom-com subgenre. So what she did was, she has an illustrated front cover, but when you open it up, it's a couple on the inside of the book. The first page, the first print of the page is a couple. Well, hello, thank you. I love that. And I think, and I'm pretty sure you can get that just straight off Amazon. It's available to do it that way. But sometimes, so because Amazon prints on demand, some of those special edition type items like that can't be done on the print on demand. The other thing that, before we get into like the core of special editions that is upsetting people, and first of all, I love the sprayed edges trend, and I look daily at them and think, oh, I'd really like to buy that. This episode is about us saying, gosh, I really wish I could buy that. I have FOMO that I couldn't buy that. We are not angry at any authors for doing special editions. There is no hatred on anybody, but we are going to complain about price and how many editions of a book I need to buy.
I think that's where the issue comes into play, right? Because KU made reading so accessible to so many people. You could pay, like, now it's $12 a month to pay for KU, but it's unlimited reading. You read, it's still the same. You read $4 a month and you're paying for it. Now with the special editions, like with the first run special editions, like all these unique print scenarios of the book, like when people fall in love with a book, you want a physical copy of it. The price of books increased a lot with COVID. Like, we went from being like $12.99, $13.99, $14.99 to a book, to where like most books now are $18.99. like, it's $18.99 for most paperbacks.
Well,
sometimes they're on deal, And you can get them for less, but like on average, the cost is a lot higher. I've seen paperbacks as expensive as $22.99.
Yeah, and the other thing, the other piece of that too is I don't have a problem with the prices going up for the books. Like I have zero issue because at the end of the day, the author actually earns as much royalties on a paperback as they do on the sale of an ebook. They do. And honestly, with these print deals, they're not earning anywhere what you think. Like they might have sold, so let's take Melanie Harlow for example. She sold her print rights. Print rights, the average right for, so remember how we talked about like the rights for a book are like a pencil case and each different right has its own kind of marker or pen.
Yep.
So each marker on average is $5,000 value. So Melanie Harlow sold her print rights for $5,000 plus royalties. The percentage of her royalty is what we don't know. Average royalty, I believe, is, I think it's like 18 to 24%, but I feel like that's kind of high on some of these print deals. So she's only earning, she got her $5,000, but now each paperback sold in her name, she's only earning, say, 18% of the cost or the sale of that book. The other problem with, and we've talked about this previously, publishers can never put a book on sale. The retailers have to put the books on sale. So if you get a paperback that's on a deal, that's because the retailer is trying to clear out the warehouse, clear out back inventory, but the author would still earn the percentage of the marked price, not the deal price. So just so we all know, authors are taken care of. Another thing that comes up oftentimes that we're seeing with a lot of publishers right now is store exclusives. For example, Elsie Silver's the second book in this current series, which is, I don't know what it's called, the new series. Wild Love was book one, whatever book two is.
Oh, I think it's Rose Hill.
Oh, Rose Hill, yes, because she stole from Jude Devereaux or from Julie Garwood. Julie Garwood has a whole
Okay. Yeah,
thing. That's another time. It's another
address.
topic for
Yes,
another time.
again.
There's going to be a Walmart exclusive book club edition.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, I had originally ordered our copies from Amazon. Then I saw there was a Walmart edition, and I'm like, oh, no. I then canceled my Amazon order and got our books from Walmart, pre-ordered them from Walmart. But it'll have exclusive content. It's going to have a Q&A in the back. And this is relatively new to publishing to have exclusive content per stores. Like just before we came on, I noticed that Katie Robert, her pirate book that she has out right now, High Tide, that's coming out, it has a special Books a Million edition with a Q&A and some cut scenes. Now, Katie's very clear to say that all of that content will be available on her website after the first 6 months that it's exclusive at Books a Million. But if you're a video gamer, this is not new for us.
No.
It used to be like you would pre-order your video game at GameStop and you'd get exclusive content from GameStop. If you pre-ordered your Call of Duty from Walmart, they had different content. And eventually it would become free download or in-game purchases that you could add on later. But it's kind of new to romance.
To your point, it's also been really popular in music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anything that retails at different stores, I think like children's games or like board games too will have store exclusive editions, like really hot and popular things will have store exclusive editions, but it's big in music and it is just now starting to take off in romance. But you know what? I think the key takeaway here is like the temptation is there, but and like the FOMO is very hard to manage. But there's no book in the world worth financial detriment to you or your family. Like,
there
the cost on these things, like the cost on everything. Like, we were just texting this week about another special edition, a Kickstarter, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I literally almost fell out of my chair when I saw the prices on this thing. And I was just like, and Jenny was like, calm down. It's okay.
Well, we're talking about
like,
penny reads.
All the things you want are there. But I'm just like, $1,000?
So we're talking about Penny Reed's Kickstarter for her Winston Brothers series.
Right.
Which there's some other pieces we have to get into with that, because she has sold the print rights to these books to Source Books. So she again had to negotiate, because she had promised her readers, what, 2 years ago when you guys did Knitting in the City, she promised that the Winstons would get their love. So, you know, she, first of all, kudos to her to make sure that she was able to continue on to her promise to the readers. And that Kickstarter is pricey, and it comes with a lot, and it's hard, right? Like, it's hard to be like, especially when you're a super fan, like you both are Penny Reed super fans. And I know that you're like, buy now. I want to buy now.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie told you how you could buy now.
I mean, it's just like this is not even this. This didn't even. This is a whole other ballpark. A whole other ballpark.
The thing is so that's one of the things that the discussion that was over in Threads comes up with, is what happened was Rena Kent, she finished her God series that she has right now that just finished. There's 6 books. I don't read Rena Kent. So she just finished this series, and she made a special edition for the 6 books. Foiled edges, foiled covers, hardback, sprayed edges, colored foil. Like, I mean, these are freaking fancy. 6 books, $500. And at the end of the day, this is the series that put her on the map, right? She did that series for herself. And in her Instagram post, she said, this is for my super fans, but this is also for me. Because it is not cheap to even print a book that has black pages. Like, if you know how sometimes we get introverted text on a page? Those are not cheap to print. So the fact that it's $500, if I loved that series, like, to be honest, if Sawyer Bennett got the print rights back for The Cold Fury and the first 3 books in the Arizona Vengeance and said, hey, I'm going to do a special edition, special cover for The Cold Fury, and it's going to be $1,000. I'm telling you right now, I am starting my OnlyFans. Feet pics will become my life.
Like, and that's the point. That's the point. Like, know your bucket list unicorn type item. Like, unfortunately for me, like, the Penny Reed is not it. I don't know what mine would be. I would say if there was a special edition of the entire Arizona Vengeance, that would probably be pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Like the Stay a Spell series and the Knitting in the City, when those came out, I absolutely had to have them. And they were more than I'd really want to pay for a book, but I didn't think it was like unreasonable given how much I love them. I love them so much. And I read them in person. Like, I didn't read the Knitting in the City because I don't have them yet, but I'm going to read them. They're not going to just sit on the shelf as trophies. But like, to your point, like, you know, when you love a book that, like, it's worth that to you.
It is. Those are books that shaped, you know, who I am as a reader. If another series, let's say Carrie Elks said, hey, I'm going to do old school clinch cover drawing painted Winterville books. Do you know how fast I would buy those? Do you know? Like, I'd be like, yes, please, sister. I'm in. But it's not going to be every book. And I mean, yes, right, we see my books behind me. I buy a lot of books. I get a lot of books sent to me. I love the special editions. I love book boxes. I would like to get book mail every day. There is a high, even when I've paid for it, that right. comes when you get to open a package. And there is a book in there. Like, look at this cover. It's so pretty. I mean, I have moments where I'm like, oh, I wish this was matte, or why is this so shiny? I mean, I'm not going to Meet Me in Milwaukee, but did I buy the cute Lumberjack Illustrated Charity Anthology? Yes. Yes, I did. Because it's freaking adorable, and I needed it.
I did. And I'm over here like, am I going to pay for the, like, ebook, or am I just going to read it in KU?
Right. I mean, well, and that's the other piece, too, right? Like, what's your limit? We got a lot of books around. Like, as you can see, I've been stacking books again.
I think, like, knowing your parameters for what needs to be a paperback in your shelf is really helpful, because I've been really strict for a long time. And that has resulted in me missing out on some things that I really regretted. And I did wind up paying resale, but I don't think, like, what I paid resale was any, it depends right. on what you're looking at and what the demand is and how willing somebody is, because a lot of people who buy things wind up having the opposite of FOMO. They made a FOMO purchase and now they have buyer's remorse when it arrives. They're like, I really wanted these and now I just really don't.
I did that. So that's the next thing. We have these book boxes, and there are hundreds of book boxes, and authors are going in and out of these book boxes all the time. If you don't stay up to date on their social media, or if you don't stay up to date on their newsletters, you could miss when an author is going to be in a book box. And there are so many, it is too hard to follow. And like, I debated Claire Contreras's new book, When We Lied, is the book club pick for Novel Grounds, and they had a really cute illustrated cover. Yeah. It was adorable, and I really loved that book. But it's only a cover for that book. It's in the world of Until I Get You, and the regular paperback matches Until I Get You. So do I want a book that mismatches in a world? I mean, right. you make all
and then
these.
Then that's when you buy two books.
And I don't need two books. I don't need them.
So I wound up buying the book box special editions. Like, I just got a special edition of The Broken One by Brittany Shaheen. It's the version that I got. It is not a man cover. My sister, she has young kids who are going to ask a lot of questions about her man covers. Like, now I got that for her because, like, she would love this book, but, like, I haven't given her Brittany books because they all have the man covers. So this was, like, the one situation where there's an alternative cover. And I got it, I think I spent $18 on it with, like, shipping and everything. Like, the person had listed it for $20, and, like, I bought it on Mercari for way less. Okay. I made them an offer, and they were like, yeah, that's fine. I'm just trying to get rid of it. So, like, there are instances like that, quite a few out there. Like, I got for Crossroads by Devney Perry, the same thing. I think, like, for $15, I got one of the special edition boxes.
I bought a couple on resale, but I have regretted the book box purchase, though. Like, I've been the person that now is trying to sell. I bought the Last Chapter's Taboo book box.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. Like, there was no creativity. It just, there was no prettiness in the book. The covers were just meh. And, like, an Inside Hush Hush by Lucille Franco, a whole chapter is missing.
Oh my gosh.
Like, a whole chapter is missing. Like, there's no. And so now I'm trying to sell those books, right? Because I don't need Medicine Man by Saffron Kent. It's not a book I'm going to read. And the covers aren't beautiful enough to keep. I love Sweet Talker by Gina Azee. I bought her a book box that had it in it. And now I'm like, that's a six or seven book series, and that one looks different. It's not going to look like any of the other books. So It's really like, but then there's other books like I Love Goal by Alexandria House. And I have two different special editions of that.
I think that they make more sense. Like the special editions that I have, is it the Bookish box that did the Penny Read?
It could have been book. There's so many. There's Bookish box.
So many, like there, I have most of the ones that I have are instances where it's an anthology. Like they've packaged the whole book together in a special edition anthology. Or like there's one book in a series that I really liked and I actually want the paperback for, and I love the series, but I don't love it enough to like own the whole series in paperback or in hard copy.
And like you said, you've been able to find them on resale, and that's the thing. Yeah, like how many, you had that happen with Anna Hackett books, right? Like she had a special box.
Oh my gosh. I was so upset when Leah and Amanda were like, look at my Anna Hackett's. And I was like, yeah, I really regret it. In November when you guys were talking about this. And I was like, yeah, no book budget right now. I was like, no book budget. Super cute. No, the envy was like instantaneous. And then Leo started sending me like, Leah and Becky started sending me like, you can find these on Mercari. And Heather was like, yeah, I got a paperback for $11 of Excalibur. And I was like, well, I don't just want Excalibur. I want like all of them. So I wound up getting them. And I think like the price that I paid for them was, I messaged Leah and I was like, what is this reasonable? Like, what is the cost that you paid for all the books? And I think like it was the same.
Yeah.
It was somebody who like bought them and was just trying to recover their costs.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like I'm not, and I know I was gifted a couple of the blue collar book boyfriend boxes. And then I shared out the books, right? Like every, you know, we shared out the books to the contributors, and two of the books that are in that series that were in those book boxes, it was a Kickstarter. One was an Elsie Silver book and one's a Lena Hendricks book. And those are going for crazy mad money, supposedly, over on Mercari or on Pongo. And I look at them and I think, why? And we saw this happen with the Sweetgrass signing.
It's still happening with the Sweetgrass signing. I absolutely love the cover. The Elizabeth O'Rourke special edition cover from Sweetgrass. Love it. It's like $80 for that book. Don't love
the
it
thing
that
is,
much.
Is
paperback.
What some authors have done is they might have a signing exclusive and that's your first chance to get it, but then they put it over in their bookstore because Carrie Ann Ryan, I didn't go to Sweetgrass. Carrie Ann Ryan was at Sweetgrass. Hey, guess what? Sister sent me the book. Like, you know, she had it for sale. I know that Melanie Harlow has done this. Devaney Perry has done that. Because Melanie Harlow had a special edition Tempt that was in Hello Lovely's box. And it sold like hotcakes. And then people were paying $75 to $100 for this book. And she said, don't do this. I'll get them to run more prints and I'll sell them on my website. And she did.
But she never did that with her book, the blue collar book box one. That is like the one that was in the blue collar book box is like one of my favorite of her books. And I looked and that paperback was reselling for like $125.
So you just you should have told me that, because we know the person who organized that book box really, really well. And she might have some in her basement.
Okay, well, I should have told you that a long time ago.
You should have told me that.
I was like, I want this book. I actually like it. I was like, it doesn't even bother me that they don't have faces. I just love this book.
I wish I had known that, because I think that's the one I randomly sent to, like, Carolina. After We Fall. That book?
Yeah, it's After We Fall. And it's Joseph Cannata.
You should have just told me.
I absolutely love that book so much.
And I know, like, I love Lainey Davis's Stag World, and she had a special book at Bray, but it's still available for sale on her website.
Oh, is it? See, now
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I might need to buy
Well, and we're gonna see her in a week. We're gonna see her in a week.
that.
So you should probably send her a message and be like, hey, my friend, can you bring this to Toledo with us? Because we're
Will
gonna see
do.
her in a week. But yeah, I mean, and then there are books that, as they get sold to publishers, the covers have to change. It can be a small tweak, it can be a big tweak. It really just depends on how the rights for the cover are written. And like, I have all the People covers for Sarah Kate's Salacious Players Club. And those people are like, oh, I'll buy those, I'll buy those. And I went looking, they're just $20 a
Yeah.
piece, which is what I paid for them. Like,
Right.
there's no, and then, but then Savar Miller, she was very sweet. Like, she gave deadlines to when her book covers were changing. And then you see her new cover for like Praises, Promises, and Pomegranates. The differences are so slight you can't even tell. So, it's like, do I care then?
Right.
Her.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the signing editions. Rabid by Raven Kennedy and Ivy Asher. Their Polycon edition was 180 plus. People have actually paid that much for it. It is super hard to find. It is gorgeous. It has the sprayed edges. It is. If I could get it for not $180, like I probably would have, but that's I've accepted. It's just never going to happen. But then going back to Savar Miller, like I had her on my list too, because I love the Fae Crate Monsters and Muses series that she did, like the whole series that just got recovered that starts with Promises and Pomegranates. I had to like be very real with myself that like it's just so much money for a series that I love, but I'm not likely to actually reread. And that's the kicker for me. Like, how much am I going to reread this? If it's going to be something that I pick up and reread whenever the mood strikes, I will have 10 copies of this book. I would. But like at the end of the day, like I didn't even finish the paperback series. I wound up deciding not to finish my paperback series for Savar Miller for that very reason. And I was like, if I can't even justify the $18.99 paperback,
Well,
how can I justify
and the covers aren't changing.
$245?
The covers aren't changing enough for me to justify running out and getting it right now. And I've
No, right.
not read any of that series, but we met her at a signing and I bought book one and I thought, oh, I better get the novella and at least the first two books that are, book two and book three, and then I'll finish the series. It's silly. So Suze asked, what is the site to buy books? So there's a couple places. Macari. Has a good market. They tend to be the best place for the higher end special editions.
So Mercari, I've bought quite a few on there. There's a wide availability, and what I like about it is that they have a really nice feature built in that helps you kind of like negotiate. Like there's a negotiation element to it. So whatever I've bought off there, the listing price, I've never paid the listing price. It's always been under. So like the way that I do it, I always like them and I have them in my cart. And I'll like, if there's a range of books, I'll like the range of the book I'm looking for and I'll keep them all in my cart. And then you'll get deals and offerings in like, and I say that because like one of the Savar Miller books, that when Fae Crate first sold out of them and they first went live, like they were $500 for the books. And one of the like, they'll take the deals for these books, like because they're sitting and they've never bought them with the intent to keep them over time, like they'll get more and more reasonable with the offers, but you will only get the offer if you've liked it.
Well, I had that the Hello Lovely Morning Glory Milking Farm edition originally was sitting at like 235, and I just happened to look at it and clicked on it because I was just curious, like looking at them, and I've had offers now down to 145 on it. And that's from the seller saying, hey, if you're interested in this, I'm willing to sell it at 145. So there's Macari, and Macari.
Yeah, that's a great way to get a book, like a book box that, like, sometimes there's three or four books in a book box, and you only want one book.
Mm-hmm. That's how we got Pray Tell by Amanda Richardson.
Yes.
It was off Macari. Now, I did pay a little more for that. I think that I ended up paying $50 for that book.
Oh, I only paid $30 for mine. And I also got the 10 Trends to Seduce Your Best Friend.
Maybe that's all I paid.
For like $15.
I don't know. Amanda sent me the link and I was like, thank you. I'm buying this because it's gorgeous.
It is.
The other place to buy some signing editions, some special editions, alternate cover editions that are maybe a little less rare is Pongo, P-A-N, or Pango, P-A-N-G-O. And many of us have books over there. The thing is I think that what I liked about Macari was they have to ship it within 48 hours of it selling.
Yes.
Like the turnover is super quick. Pango took a little bit more time. And, you know, one of the things that I did is when I know a series is being recovered, for example, Kim Lorraine recovered a bunch of books to illustrated covers. And I had a bunch of man cover books of hers. So I threw them up over there because if somebody wanted man covers, they didn't sell. So I took them down and they're in a box under my bed. And this is how we end up with stacks like this.
Well, and if you're not active for a while on Macari, they'll give you like $10. Like I just got a $10 coupon today and I'm like, oh, I just bought two books for like a dollar.
Yeah, I don't know that I need any books. I really am trying to be no spend October, but then I ate like a hibachi chicken burrito today that was not in my budget, but delicious.
Well, it's August and not October, so you still got 2 months.
Yeah. So one of the other things that we've talked about a little bit with the resale market is just because like. Don't go buying books thinking you're going to resell it for a profit.
Mm-mm.
It's likely you're not.
I think it's so important to have like hard boundaries with yourself around what constitutes a need for the book, because it is so tempting. And like, honestly, like if you're honest with yourself, when you look at some of these special editions, like the L. Kennedy books, all of her hockey series books have been special editions. They all retail for like $300+. Like individual special edition covers are like listed for $200. And I'm just like,
they're beautiful books, but they aren't.
They are beautiful, but they're also like, if you're going to be reselling a book for that much, like it better be like gold foil. It better be a lot fancier than those. Like those are nice books, but they're not nice enough to justify the cost. And I think like being very real about that, like,
yeah,
because at the end of the day, like if you decided down the road you didn't want the book, like you would never make that money back. And I think that's fine. But
I'm also, because of the cover changes that keep happening though, sometimes I'm just buying the books that are the current cover and trying to stay ahead of that. Like, Kennedy Ryan, she sold Real to Forever. And I hate the new cover.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done in the Harlem Renaissance watercolor styling. It makes sense.
But the old cover was so much better.
I know. Okay, but like to your point of the covers, like the special editions have, like there's multiple iterations of special editions too, right? So like I got the hardbacks through the Kickstarter from Juliet Cross. And at the time those came out, I was like, they averaged $55 a book. I think they were $55 per book. And there were 6 books included in the Kickstarter. The Fae Crate has a special run on them. And like Juliet Cross was trying to figure out if she'd even be able to sell like the scratch and dent copies. But the Fae Crate special edition covers, the full set is cheaper than what the scratch and dent cost would be for the full set, assuming you can get it. So it's like, granted, you don't know what the covers will look like yet. Like, Fae Crate hasn't really showed you anything except the like one end page art thing, but the entire book set plus shipping, I think it's like $210 after shipping. The entire cost of that is less than what the scratch and dent copies would be from the Kickstarter run. And I
Yeah.
think that's because, like, sometimes these book boxes that are doing these groupings have like more economical
Well, they're also
prints.
able to source the printing of their books from different printers that Juliet, as a Kickstarter, wouldn't have had access to. You know, can Erin Nicholas offer books with sprayed edges? She 1,000% can, but the cost per book is going to go up versus Melanie Harlow is currently selling Runaway Love through Entangled with lipstick kisses down the side, and it doesn't cost any extra because they're, you know, Entangled is doing a mass printing, Erin's doing in small batch printing. Erin has to use a special printer like 48 Hour Books that will do those high-end prints. And Entangled has their own print, their own contract, you know, of who they're printing with. And a lot of the printing, the sprayed edges and stuff that are happening, a lot of that is happening overseas and being shipped. It is not a US printed book. The sprayed, like all the sprayed edges for Iron Flame, which was book two in Rebecca Yarros's book, some of them were printed in Italy, some of them were sprayed in the Netherlands, because they have, that's a very European thing to have books with sprayed edges. It's kind of a newer US-based thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, there was a bookstore in Canada where there's a lot of Canadian editions that had the sprayed edges.
Yeah.
And then I think there is it Afterlight that's UK
Yeah.
that does like full series with the special edition sprayed edges. Gorgeous sprayed edges. I've never bought anything from them, but I always.
I was very lucky. Danielle sent me the UK copy of Cross the Line, which is one of our August books for Sip and Discuss.
Oh, yeah. The
And
Afterlight one
n no, it, well, it's
is
it
just
is the publisher version, and it has the racetrack sprayed on the edges. It's gorgeous. It was the UK edition. The US edition has plain edges, no extra sprayed. It's gorgeous. And I shared it over on my Instagram. And Danielle knew I was super excited. I'd been waiting for that book since September last year, and it's now just out. So she's like, I know you were excited for this, and I saw it, and I wanted to get it for you. So, and that was only happening on a first run. But I think Waterstones bookstore in the UK, you can, they will ship US stateside. And you can get the UK versions with whatever fancy stuff they have.
yeah. And especially like with, so I know like Tara DeWitt, like whatever her book deal is, like she has no paperbacks for some of her books available, or she had no paperbacks for a while. They went live at Waterstones, and Waterstones, I think if you spend a certain amount, they ship for free.
They will. And that's okay. So that's a different kind. That's her contract. So it used to be Carina Press through Harlequin. They had a thing where you had to sell so many ebooks in order to get a print run on your book. And that was how, so like Rena Morgan, when she first started, it took like 2 years after the first two books to come out before they went ahead and started printing them in mass market, because she had to hit certain sales.
I
So.
also like, so I do like her take or whatever, whoever did the special edition for Funny Feelings. It's not that different from the paperback. It's, I think it's a hardback copy and it's red and it's really vibrant and beautiful, but it's not that different from the paperback. So it's like a nice to have, but like not a need to
Need to
have
have.
thing. And I like when they do that, when they make it so that like it's a desirable thing to own, but it's not like you feel like you must have it now.
Well, and it's important to remember that oftentimes, especially if this is an author doing the special edition, they're doing it for themselves. Like, I know that Carrie Ann Ryan is getting ready to do a special edition of Whiskey Secrets. The book is 10 years old. I think it's 10 years old, and it was a book that she wrote with, that was the last book she and Dan collaborated on together before he passed. And she wants a commemorative edition. And
Right.
I can't blame her. I would too, right? Like, that's special. And so she's doing it for her. If it sells, great. If it doesn't, she did it for herself. Okay, so I'm melting. We're going on to Book of the Week. sorry. Anyway, we could talk about this all night. If you have any thoughts on special editions, share them over to Discord, send us a message. We can come back and highlight it next week. So guess what time it is? It's that time for Book of the Week. It's Book of the Week time. Jenny, what's your Book of the Week?
I'm doing a reread of Junkie by Cambria Herbert. I've just been like uber depressed and stressed out and need
Fair.
some comfort reading.
Fair. Lindsay, what's your Book of the Week?
I mean, I feel like I just talked about this not too long in like the TBR, but I finally read The Lumberjack by Susan Stoker, and I did not expect it. Like, I knew going into it like who the hero and heroine would be, but I did not expect
Layla.
that to be quite how it worked out, and I really loved it. I thought it was great. I think this whole series has been great. I like that the whole thing has been listen for free in KU.
Yeah, that makes a difference. My Book of the Week is Enticing Her Love by Melissa Foster. This is the last book in the Steals at Silver Island. And it was book one is how I started with Melissa Foster. So to see the series that I started with her kind of come to an end makes me a little sad. This is Sutton Steele's book. It is only one bed. Sutton and her boss Flynn, they are spicy. Like, it is hate, love, love, hate, 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 like chemistry off the charts. It comes out August 24th, but you can get it the week before off Melissa's website. It will release early on her website. Okay, so Patreon update. I would like to. We have like tons of people celebrating their anniversaries in August. Celebrating 1 year in the Hive is Laura R. and Julie and Allison and Leslie and Dina. We are so glad you're here and you've stuck around with us for the last year. We haven't frightened them off. So that's a good thing. And then celebrating 3 years in the Hive is Jenny. Congratulations, Jenny.
Oh.
You lasted 3 years.
I did.
And you got a best friend. What the
Right.
heck? We should charge extra for that. No, just kidding. Jenny and then Hannah and Christina with an H. Thank you so much for supporting Buzzing About Romance. We could not do this without our Patreon members. Okay, you guys, swag packs in August are jumbo sized. We supersized them. We have been doing swag packs for 2 years. And so we want to thank all the amazing authors that have helped us support this swag pack opportunity. I couldn't do it without authors that come through each month with some amazing swag. But I have extras left over from the last 2 years. So we went through and we're sending you guys a variety of good stuff. No swag pack is the same. And so maybe you missed out on Marie Johnston chapstick and you're going to get some Marie Johnston chapstick. Probably not
Probably
because
not.
Lindsay has all of the Marie.
I have all of the ones.
I found three more in a baggie when I was cleaning out swag. So somebody could get it. And then our Patreon book pick of the week comes this week from Susie R. She is recommending The Saxon Club Sin Book 5 by Jacinda Wilder. The series is also named the Dirty Beast series. Saxon is the book. It released just earlier in July, I think. Tropes: former mafia, former assassin, rescuer, feisty heroine, forced proximity, running from assassins, alpha hero, and found family. Content trigger warnings. There is mention of a rape, child abuse, murder, torture, and body image issues. This is available in ebook or paperback. The ebook is available in Kindle Unlimited. This was published July 26th of 2024. And this is from Susie. The banter is fun, and the heroine Tara doesn't take any crap. After an absence, the brilliance of Jacinda Wilder has returned. This book reads like an action movie. I can picture it in my head. It stands alone if you've not read the others in the series. And a bad brother makes a brief appearance. So there may be a crossover or a new book in the series. It was hinted that there was one in the works in the newsletter from the author. This type of book is to your liking. She would highly recommend it. And I'm ready to go back. I loved book one in this series, and I kind of fell off, but Saxon is getting rave reviews, and, you know, I love a spicy, spicy book from Jacinda.
I'll read it with you. We should do a quick shot.
We absolutely should. I agree. So make sure you come back here Wednesday night for our discussion of The Sweet Spot by Bella Matthews, and then we'll be back next Sunday night, and I'm not sure what the topic is, but we'll be back here to talk about something. You can find a current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website, and we have dropped September's lineup, and we also dropped September's book club pick, which is Daisy Jane. And don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you loved this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, and make sure you share it with your friends. Well, you know, just as long as we're their cup of tea, because we're not always. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out and joining us for this episode all about special editions. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @buzzingaboutromance or on Twitter at @buzzingromance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.